This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm and wise and skillful, not proud or demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety. May all beings be at ease, whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be at ease. Let none deceive another, or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another. Even as the mother protects with her life her child, her only child, so with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded, freed from hatred and ill will. Whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness, one should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding, by not holding to fixed views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being freed from all sense desires, is not born again into this world. Thank you, Chris. Well, welcome to the Armadale meditation session in the evening. What is it? Tuesday the 1st, 2nd, 3rd? What do we have?
Tuesday the
8th. Oh, the 8th already? Oh my gosh, I'm so out of tune with reality. Sort of, for 2 weeks I was just in my hut now, self quarantining. So I had a lot of time for myself again after 3 months of having all the time for myself. So when you're in the monastery, you better learn to get along with yourself, otherwise you're in trouble. And I heard that some people had COVID as well on the outside, and they were struggling and getting a bit depressed. And I just really see this connection between our expectations and our wants and the suffering we experience very clearly sometimes. You know? And people get depressed, and if you don't have anything to do and you can't do much, it's usually not a problem. You know? I can understand if you have a job and you have to force yourself to go to work, or you have so many obligations and you have to just pull through. That might be a difficult thing when you're sick. But for me, I was just sick. So I was on sick leave, if you like. I couldn't do much. And I didn't have that in mind that I'm missing out on anything because I'm sick now. Didn't have much pain, was unpleasant, like it is with a flu, coughing and sneezing and headache and I don't know what, and weak. But it's not really painful in itself. Wasn't that I was really physically suffering a lot. So I think when this depressed state, it starts again when the thinking comes. This missing out on anything, I should do something else, or negative thoughts come up. And that just didn't happen in my case. So even being sick, I had a pretty good time for 2 weeks. Wasn't a problem. And I hope that people who learn to meditate, to see what's going on in the mind when the mind goes in directions that are unskillful, that they just get a better overview and can remind themselves faster. Why do you go there, mind? It's just now you're sick, the body is sick, there's nothing to do, so don't do anything, you don't have anything to do. And then even gratitude could come up in my mind, just because I still had to drag myself up the hill to get something to eat. When I didn't make that effort, actually, then I stayed hungry. So that was one of my problems. I could have asked somebody to bring me anything down, but then it's sort of a bother, and I can do a day or two without food, it's no problem. So when I really felt too weak, I just didn't go up at all a hill. And then I didn't worry, I could have worried, oh, my body is sick already, and now it doesn't get anything to eat, probably makes it worse or whatnot, but I didn't worry much about it, and it didn't happen. So this relationship between the mind state and our thought, I think, is a very important thing that we can learn in the meditation. And we first see that the thoughts, they come uninvited. There's a process going on there, and there's nobody really in charge. I was in Germany before the Wasser, before the rains retreat. I was in Germany to visit my parents, and one of my old friends, he made a good comment that I really liked. Of course, some of my old friends are suffering a bit more than others, also with depression and this and that. But that particular friend he told me, a moment in my life I realized that 95% of all that I'm thinking is nonsense. Since then I don't have a problem anymore. And I just found that so brilliant, you know. What a great insight, because if we really pay close attention to what is going on in our heads most of the time, it's just like, can go all into the bin, or most of it. And if it doesn't affect us, then also that suffering that is created by these thoughts don't affect us so much. So we're going to do a meditation session. And it's not that important how quiet it's going to get in your mind. I mean, the aim, like always, is going to be that we quiet the mind down a little bit, but not to get anywhere in particular, just to see clearly that process of thoughts coming into the mind. We invite the mind to be quiet for that half hour, and then we see what all is coming in spite of the invitation to be quiet. And then we get a bit of a feel for this uncontrollable process of thinking that is going on the whole time. And the more that we develop a little bit of a distance towards what we think and what we have to react to and feel to intensely, then if the process is just better understood, then we have a chance that the process itself doesn't affect us so much, because we can realize this is thoughts, nothing else. It just I'm sick, am I gonna die, is this gonna get worse, is my taste gonna come back, is my smell gonna come back, am I ever gonna be strong again? These thoughts are suffering. It's just blah, 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 blah. Who knows? Maybe I die, maybe I recover. But worrying about that stuff, that's the suffering that we can save ourselves from if we're getting more aware of what is going on in our own minds. And meditation is just a tool for that. First of all, seeing that this control that we believe that is there the whole time is not really there. And then seeing what positive mind states can do and what negative mind states do. Thinking in a wrong way, thinking in a fearful, negative way, puts the mind on a certain track. And if the mind has a bit of meditation, it sees that clearly when it gets onto that track, and then it can do something about it. So let's try that, to make the mind a little bit calm, invite it, be friendly, without this big aim of having complete stillness, but this prospect that there's beauty there when the mind doesn't have to think so much, right? And just being in this awareness, in this presence. What is this presence really, if we don't interpret and think about it the whole time? So I'm gonna do a little bit of a guidance at the beginning for it, to relax us into it, and then we can meditate for half an hour like always. I ring the bell and then we can discuss what happens, what happened, and yeah, I don't know, if you have questions I try to answer them, or if you're too shy, I have to figure something out what to talk about this evening. All right. So please make yourself comfortable. So try to relax the body. Whatever position you are, make sure that you have a feeling that is stable. You can fall asleep in that position. The body is not going to get harmed. So relaxed as in these moments when you lie on your back in bed and go asleep. You don't have to pay attention of keeping it upright in a certain position, or controlling any movement in the near future, because it's getting too uncomfortable already. If it's still getting uncomfortable, sure, we move, fiddle around, but just as a starting point, that it starts relaxed already, starts comfortable. So I usually go once through my body, from the feet upwards. See if the distance is nice between my legs. My feet are on the ground now, sitting on a chair is a little bit of a different maneuver than when I sit cross-legged. Take your time, get aware of the body. And make sure that you can breathe comfortably in, right? No restrictions. And I find if I breathe a few times, if I pump myself up a little bit more than usual, it's a very nice way to relax my shoulders on the out-breath. And my neck comes into the right position. That I don't have to put any effort in holding my body upright. And when the shoulders are relaxed, there's always a sign that sends a signal to the mind as well, that the mind is allowed to relax. We're not in the fight or flight position. We can just invite the mind now that we have this half hour where all the thoughts concerned with the past or future are not necessary. The half hour that we can share with our friends from the Armadale group and the visitors, invite the mind just to be with that what is happening right now. With the feelings in the body, the sounds in the room, the breath going in and out, without restricting the perception to a single point yet. Just if perception is allowed to go wherever it wants to, whatever is strongest right now, there the perception will go. The breath is there the whole time in the background. Body is just doing its job. And if we look a little bit closer towards the breath, we also increase that control already, but that is okay. The function that we always, what we focus upon, then that control comes up as well. So we don't focus too much, just let it run, body is doing the job. And then we just become aware of thoughts coming up. And we remember this is not the time to investigate with thoughts. This is the time where we just watch thoughts coming and going. They come uninvited and they go. If we don't grab and hold on to them and follow that string of thoughts, and just come and go again. Another comes and goes. And if we don't want to be anywhere in particular, we don't need to judge as well. Doesn't need to be more quiet. It's not that any thought is unwelcome. Whatever comes up, not up to us. And in these short moments when there is no thought, feel how it feels, beautiful, just nothing to figure out, nowhere to be, nothing to do, just watching what is going on. Kind interest. Nobody excluded. We just watch where the mind is going when we stop doing stuff. How it all just rolls on and on and on. So I'm going to mute myself for a while if I have some more coughing to do, not to disturb you. If the observer can be interested and friendly, that is always a very nice position to be in. It becomes very clear and relaxed. Otherwise, we create too much struggle again. If the observer can't be friendly and relaxed, that's not up to you as well in that moment again. Maybe in the next moment it will be. Don't have to make anything out of it. That is true friendliness. Whatever happens, it's welcome. Can we do that for half an hour? Let's see.
Oh. Yes, people are coming back little by little. So, whatever our intentions were, I just rolled on and on and on. Just my body is not very quiet. I have bodily sensations. It takes me out again, and then just thoughts popping in and out. What I'm gonna say afterwards and stuff. And just have to remind myself. It's just like. Best thing is it just gets quiet. It's always the point when it becomes interesting, and then also a new idea comes up afterwards. Of course, you have a little bit of a taste of stillness again. So, but I just could watch these little spaces in between. When there were no thoughts, and there was, if we find happiness there, if we see beauty there, then the meditation is gonna be a lot easier. And we're always where the mind sees beauty, it's easy to dwell there, when it's interesting, when it's beautiful. And there is real beauty in that peace of the non-proliferating mind. And the clearer we see that, the better the meditation gets. There's not that much struggle there anymore, because wherever the mind thinks there is beauty, it wants to go there anyway. Another beautiful piece of cake, another beautiful girlfriend, another beautiful husband, another beautiful this, beautiful that, and then we get all the energy and the power to walk in that direction. If the mind sees beauty in the stillness, in these short moments of stillness, then we have developed a tendency that is happy there in the first place, and then we don't have to make the effort anymore. And then it becomes this meditation can become this effortless thing, and this stillness can just become a whole realm in itself. Just with sort of this wishy-washy boredom sort of state becomes a whole universe of things that haven't been discovered yet, like being an explorer, just like wow, traveled over the boring ocean, and then the new continent comes into view, and completely unexpected realms of beauty in this silence, in this quietness of the mind, and gets into realms so attractive, because the mind also sees why it's there, and it sees the cause and the effect of getting there. And then it ceases, fear just falls away, from the mind, because it's just there is no condition to that kindness in the mind. There is nothing to fear anymore. Fear exists in the realm of thoughts, and at a certain point of quietness, there's so much beauty there. There's no space for fear. thoughts cannot pop up there anymore. It's just too strong, the experience in itself, and then the meditation is going. So there is something in between these thoughts, a whole universe of beauty that we haven't discovered yet. And that is nice to keep that in the backs of your mind. As it's not a struggle, the way of meditation. If there's a struggle, then there is some unkindness there in the meditation, or some wanting. And figure out what that is for you. Where do you want to be? What do you expect? If the meditation is viewed by the mind as a chore, then there is no beauty discovered in this short moments where there's no thoughts going on, and you have them as well. It's not a continuous thing, that there is not the tiniest bit of space there. That's maybe in a manic or totally depressed state that can happen. It's just like there's such a flood of stuff going on. There's really, it doesn't seem to be any space. But when that calms down again, when there's not any particularly excited state in the mind, and there are gonna be these moments there for everybody, where there's these moments in between the thoughts. And if you can put your attention there, you have this short glimpses of something beautiful that is quickly overlooked. Because the panic, the paranoia, the depression, it develops in the thinking mind. Whenever that is switched off, even for the shortest moments, then there's that possibility of calm and happiness. And just being sick for a while is such a nice reminder. The healthy mind and the healthy body and stuff, it's just, it's nonsense. You know, the body is the body. The body is gonna get sick. I wasn't in a crappy mind state before I got sick. I was pretty alright, actually. I just had a nice Wasser behind me, a nice rains retreat. And then I think it was coming in contact with all of you guys, actually, at the big festival after the rains. Just too many viruses flying around, or what, I don't know. But it's, happened, and then the body gets sick. But the suffering of the sickness itself was just ridiculous. It was no, like I said, the pain was just, I mean, the headache when I was coughing, it was sort of like my brain was loose and rattling around in my head. That was pretty unpleasant and painful. But then I had some aspirin or whatnot, and that took care of that. So the fortunate circumstances of living in a wealthy Western country where all the medicines were available to me again. And I took full advantage of that. And then the suffering involved with the low energy, and what was just the feeling of low energy, which is a bit of a place of suffering already. lots of energy is in the happier realms, and very little energy is just in the unhappier realms. But it's because I didn't do this comparison thing in my mind. Just like, yeah, I was sick, and there was a different state, low energy state. But if I didn't make anything more out of that, I don't mind. If I'm sick for another month or whatnot, I wouldn't mind. If I had the cold for another month, there is no burden there. It's not painful. It's just another low energy state of mind. Yes. And I think over the years I have just learned now to not create too much extra suffering for myself in my mind. I don't want to be it to be different. If I had been too sick for doing the Armadale group tonight, I would have told Acham Ram, and then somebody else would have done it. So it's all not the end of the world. Maybe I'm in a better position than you are or whatnot. Some of you might be still be busy in the world, but I mean, if you're sick, then you get a certificate and you don't have to work. It's just, and you save other people from catching your sickness as well, so you do something for others. So I don't think really there lies so much the problem. It's the expectations, the wanting things to be different. And then the speculations of the mind. How long is it going to last? Am I going to get better? How am I affecting the others? And they're going to be disappointed. And it's just this thinking around that process that makes people depressed. But the process itself wasn't painful or depressing. And that is interesting. Then I see there's a little bit of freedom that comes from my practice over the years. It's not just believing in something. Oh, now the Buddha is going to protect me. We have to discover something for ourselves. That what is going on? What is causing this suffering here? And having this interest and the beautiful thing is the deeper we look and the more we understand, the lesser that suffering becomes. The suffering is this undiscovered places, the things that we don't see, not the stuff that we see, the stuff that we imagine. The things that are made up in our own minds and have no bearing with reality whatsoever often. And to get a glimpse of that can save you so much. And just seeing where the mind is going there. It's just, is that true? Is that reality? No, it's just a possibility. And so, the biggest fear, the unknown then is, do I have to die now? What does that mean? We don't know. We don't know how that feels. It's just this, the biggest fear always seems to be the stuff that we really don't have the faintest clue about. So, we might be surprised. Might be better than we expected. I don't know. I'm not. But it's as long as we suffer with thoughts like that, we have to admit we just don't know. And do we need that suffering? What is that? What is that good for? Is that helping? And at a certain point, you realize there are thoughts there that are just nonsense. They bring me down, and then is this moment of awareness just becomes faster and faster and faster, and then before it goes into this long loop of proliferation and oh this and then that happens and that happens and oh, and then it goes to something completely different, and I'm worthless and I'm a failure and my mother didn't love me enough. I don't know where the mind goes, basically. It just wanders there and there, and once it's on a negative track it can go on for ages in that direction. And this awareness just sees, wow, that is a negative track. It's not that interesting, really. I've been there many, many times before. It's just always the same blah, 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 blah. Nothing to do with reality. Like my wise friend in Germany said, 95% of what is going on up there is complete nonsense. It's just ideas. And a lot of, it's a big challenge for our intellectuals, isn't it? We all know so much and we're so wise and I'm so educated and studied so hard, and we have to realize it's just in the end, what's the wisdom piece of that knowledge is very limited. You see the clever minds, how much they suffered. It's almost in this, in the more clever they are, you can add this big portion of suffering already, because in some, often they are blind to other aspects of their mind, because the brilliance in one field takes over the wisdom in other fields. Psychologists who are depressed, what's the point? What is psychology? I studied all that stuff and I'm aware of all these things and I'm depressed myself. What the hell is going on? Doesn't seem to be the wisdom aspect enlightened enough on that path. So to get an idea of what is going on in the mind, the meditation can help you. Even if it doesn't get quiet and you're not going to go to the beauty places yet, but just having a taste of this little bit of space between the thoughts, having a taste for that beauty when the mind isn't running. And then I guarantee you, if the mind sees beauty there, you don't have to put effort into it anymore. Because the nature of the mind is it wants happiness and tries to avoid suffering. That it's very own purpose. So it will never help if we try to deny and no, you shouldn't do that, mind. Don't be stupid. We have to see there's suffering. Oh, look, in that direction there's suffering. And without trying to convince us of something, there is suffering. And we taste it, we feel it with the last cell in our body in that moment, basically. It's just, if we have a clear mind, we see that string of thought just going in a certain direction. And then the mind sees it and knows that direction already. And then it sees suffering and the mind draws away from it without being told. Because that's the whole purpose of the mind, to look for happiness and trying to avoid suffering in every second of our life. We want to see the beautiful, we want to taste the beautiful, we want to smell the beautiful, we want to hear the beautiful. We want to be respected, we want to be this, we want that, we want and we want and we want, and every minute of our life, that's the struggle. Because there's so many unpleasant smells, so many unpleasant sounds, and so many people who tell us what an idiot we are. So So this being dependent on all that stuff is just so exhausting. And having this little spaces, seeing this little spaces where there is nothing to be special, nothing to achieve there, nothing to protect there. And the mind sees that, and then it just becomes so bloody attractive. It's just because there's also no fear there, because it's done, nothing needs to be protected there, because it's the mind doesn't, there is no preconception of where the mind has to go, where we have to be. Is all there in that moment already, and it's exactly right how it is. And if, with no concept of thoughts and time, it's just like is a very, very happy space, but not conditioned like the happiness that we are. It's still conditioned in time because it doesn't last, but it's not conditioned on outside circumstances anymore, of people meaning it well with us, or if often not even in that moment with heat or cold or body sickness or anything anymore, because it's the mind is just beyond that, and that is all possible in this, and it starts with these moments in between the thoughts. Recognizing beauty there, having interest in that, what is happening, not struggling and avoiding and new commitments for the new year, and I'm not gonna do this anymore, and I'm gonna lose 10 pounds, and I'm gonna stop smoking, and I stop beating my wife. Yeah, you better stop beating your wife. That is a good starting point. Five precepts is a very good starting point. This harmlessness is an excellent starting point for this looking at this spaces in the mind with a kindness and an interest. And if there's this little bit of kindness and interest there, then there's a possibility opening up as well. And the more beauty that is discovered in that direction, the more powerful that mind state becomes. Because the mind delights in it. We want beauty. We cannot avoid that. It's the same as you try to avoid breathing. You cannot stop breathing. You can only, I don't know, hang yourself or suffocate yourself with a shawl or I don't know what. You cannot stop willingly to breathe. It's impossible. It's not a form of suicide that is optional. It's gonna stop breathing now. Not gonna work. No, I'm gonna stop thinking now. It's not gonna work. No, I'm gonna stop feeling now. It's not gonna work. Not gonna stop perceiving now. It's not gonna work. I stop wanting beautiful things from now on. It's not gonna work. I stop thinking negative thoughts from now on. It's not gonna work. It's all not gonna work. So what is gonna work? Finding some happiness between the thoughts is an idea. Seeing how much suffering there is in thoughts, how much craziness there is in thoughts, all the nonsense that goes on in the world is because of thoughts. Wars going on because of thoughts. Seeing beauty in between the thoughts. Tasting something there is a beautiful way of strengthening your meditation, strengthening that awareness, strengthening this possibility of discovering what was the Buddha talking about with his suffering stuff and the end of suffering. What is that supposed to be? being aware of what is going on and having an alternative. That is a possibility then. And not just an idea, not just a belief anymore. It is something that is there for you in your life, something you have learned, like riding a bike or driving a car or whatever. You know how that works. And the more you know how the mind works, how your own mind runs into different directions and how the conditions are in that mind, and how to what is kind for your mind and what is unkind, you get a real chance there of avoiding more and more suffering. Not by running away, but just seeing, oh, painful direction. Don't have to go there. So I hope that is what meditation can help you with, not just having a new chore to do, not some abstract goal in the future where something is going to happen and you're going to bliss out. Just it's also the moment of each of your meditations where you become aware of the difference between thoughts, non-thoughts, negative thoughts, okay thoughts, wholesome thoughts, unwholesome thoughts. And the mind sees that direction and that direction and that direction, and if it sees it clearly, it's going to choose the nice direction by itself, because that's what it wants to be in the happy realms. I mean, we have to be in meditation. When it's getting still, a lot of the deceit just falls away. And we just tell ourselves that, oh, that is supposed to be happy and that is supposed to be right. It's just, if it doesn't feel right, it's not right. Just the end sacrifice the means. It just doesn't feel right. And it's just, often it's very unkind already in the meditation. It just feels unkind. And after a while, you're just not willing to go there anymore. Just this unkindness to oneself. What can be more stupid? I mean, who is demanding that of us, that we are unkind to ourselves? There's still something that believes that there is a something to be achieved by that, and that is the reason. If we see unkindness is just unkindness. Kindness is kindness. And there is a feel to it, there is a trust to it, there is a very clear perception of what that is, and it's not something that we have to listen to somebody to tell us. Somebody that slaps us in the face and tells us it's for our own good. I'm not going to believe you. It's just, it's not right. It's not true. Especially if we do that in our own minds.
All right, John. Is there anybody who would, thank you for that, it's been a wonderful evening. Is there anybody who would like to make a comment or ask a question? We've received a lot of excellent information this evening, so anybody who would like to ask a question or make a comment?
There's a hand up.
Oh, hand up.
Oh? Oh, he's just filling around with his light, I think. Okay, how does it even work? Just start talking.
Thank you, Ajahn.
Darlene.
I have a question, because this morning my daughter said she wasn't sleeping very well. She has an important exam at the end of the year. She's in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I suggested that she do some short meditation. It's not the first time I propose, but it's the first time she seems interested. So I was wondering if you had any advice, if I could maybe suggest, I don't know, Bodhisattva rather than death contemplation, I guess.
Oh, definitely no death contemplation for something like that. And I don't think it's a good starting point as well, you know. Meditation is something we have to feel ourselves into, and the more beauty from the very beginning we see in that, the more powerful and the longer we're going to keep it up, more powerful it's going to be in the longer we keep it up. So if your daughter can find I would do it very short. Because if you haven't done meditation before, even if you say 15 minutes, and if you're young enough, it's a sort of, 15 minutes, boring, make it 3 minutes, or something that is, where the mind doesn't see some sort of threat of boredom or needing to be something in the background. And then just this, just imagine for 3 minutes you can just completely take that away, all the expectations of your exam in the future, all the what you're going to be, if you're going to fail, if you're going to succeed. And the meditation is just having this space for 3 minutes, and just to be there in the moment with yourself, with your breath, and just not having to do anything, and just trying to take the burden away, take that as a chance for even short intervals, taking this pressure away that the mind creates for ourselves. Well, and your job is obviously not to create too much pressure for your daughter as well in the background, I guess, you know. Okay.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, darling. Is there anybody else who would like to make a comment or ask a question? Oh, darling.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Oh, yes, darling. Yes.
I have two questions. This is my first time here. When you say to watch the breath, you follow just the sensation, you don't focus anywhere, and you also don't do mental noting like anger or calmness. It's just you just kind of go with the feeling of the breath. Is that doing the meditation?
Okay. Because you're here with me for the first time, and I don't want to repeat myself over and over again. Often I go through the a little bit more through the body when we start becoming aware of the body, and you're really going with you slowly through the body, and then. The aim of the meditation I do is always becoming more still. The noting stuff and I don't do that at all. And it's just more talk, in my opinion, just more controlling. It's just like this and that and that and that and that, conceptualizing again. And the beauty where there's moments of beauty is when, for me, when this conceptualizing stops, where the mind realizes there is this space in between the thoughts, and then it is an awareness of your body first, as you really go through the body, that you're with the body. A lot of people are so out of their body the whole time, they don't realize it the whole time they're sitting like that, for example. Then they have to go through all these different doctors to put them into shape again, because there's constantly some tensions in their bodies. So the relaxing of the body, being in contact with the body at the start of the meditation, is also a kindness and a in the opposite direction to this controlling mind, that tries to figure out things, trying to name things, trying to sometimes this awareness or mindfulness, it can be something that people interpret, in my opinion, too much in that direction, that they have to be alert, you know, like you have to be in school or whatnot, otherwise you miss something. And there's not enough kindness. They usually are... Huh? Something wrong? You understand me?
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you.
Okay. I had some feedback here in the loudspeaker. Okay. So I stress this kind watcher very much usually with people when I start the meditation. That this indiscriminate kindness. It's just whatever comes up is welcome in the first place. And then this the breath as something as an anchor in the background. And if the mind wants to go to the breath and stay with the breath, it can go there. If it wants to go to the sound that is most prominent in the room right now, it goes there anyway. And if there's a thought coming up, it's a thought coming up, but I don't have to name it, I don't have to make anything out of it. I just find happiness in that watcher, the one that doesn't have to control. Chan Brahm often calls it the controller, letting go of the controller. The one that is always manipulating, always trying to figure something out, always commenting on things. And to have that watcher there is good to start the meditation with kindness. That you wish yourself well. You wish yourself to enjoy your meditation, and not another chore. Not something we have to do to become wise and good Buddhists or whatnot. It's sort of if the mind sees beauty in the meditation, it wants to go there. It's the nature of the mind. So I stress that people start seeing the beauty in the meditation from the very beginning. And if they don't see it, then please recognize what is causing you trouble in the meditation. See where your expectation lies. If you think there's too much thought or whatever, invite the mind. It's okay, mind. If you need to think so much, no, then do it. Actually, we still don't have to buy into it then completely. Then our meditation is just to watch that we have a lot of thought. But it's always this lack of controlling things. We chant that in the metta meditation in the beginning, like a mother protects with her life her only child, blah, 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 blah. It's the same attitude. I mean, your child does all this stupid stuff, is running around, and you just watch that it doesn't put his or her fingers in the electrical socket or whatnot, or doesn't fall out of the window. That is the kindness of the mother, but it's also when it poops in his or her pants and destroy something in your room. I don't know what they do. This kindness of a watcher, of a good mother, and the same attitude is the meditation attitude in your mind. Just somebody kind trying to figure out what is causing suffering here, what is causing happiness, nothing more. And I mean all the rest of it, the five precepts and what is bringing us slowly in that direction. And just as if other people don't expect us to do them harm anymore, that's obviously a big advantage. Makes our surrounding very peaceful. Still going to be a little bit of conflict in the monastery as well, but it just calms things down. Not stealing, not killing, not lying, not having inappropriate sexual relationships with people that are in a relationship already. not deceiving our friends, and not making our minds too stupid with alcohol, or I don't know what people take. Because then we break all the other precepts and it's just too dull to see what's going on in the first place. But that is also a process. Even keeping the five precepts is a process, because if the mind sees happiness and clarity, all the drugs that dull the mind become so much less attractive. And whatever is less attractive, actually, the mind is not inclined towards. So then instead of telling the mind, no, and you shouldn't, it's basically seeing the unattractiveness of things that are unattractive in reality, because a dull mindset is unattractive. If you have ever experienced a clear, energetic mind, you know how unattractive a dull mind is. So the meditation I try to teach is always understanding things, understanding being clear, but being kind in your mind, because we don't want to push it anywhere. We want happiness and want to avoid suffering, all of us. But sometimes we're just so unskillful still, because we don't treat ourselves very nicely on that way. We don't have to tell us anything. If we see suffering, the mind is going to draw away from it. So if the mind still thinks there's happiness, it's going to go there. If the mind still sees happiness on having a few drinks in the evening because it has too much suffering in the day, it's going to go there. And then sometimes we can use a little bit of willpower if it's going to do something stupid in the moment that we can avoid. But it's not a principle that we can attach to our lives and expect the mind to be happy if we don't develop that happiness in the mind that just comes from a gentleness treating itself. There's happiness in that already, even without super deep meditation. So that's how I try to teach meditation to people from the very beginning, that they find meditation something attractive, find to see the attractive points in the meditation. Does that help you, Darlene?
Yes, I do have a second question.
Okay.
If you don't mind.
Sure.
Do you find it is imperative to do walking meditation also?
Not imperative at all. No. But it's often, especially in the monastery, you can't sit the whole time, actually. And we have a nice walking meditation path, but I'm not a big walker myself, I have to admit. But sometimes it's nice, because it also can be a form of kindness. If you feel restless in the body, you can just sometimes have to do something. It feels like that. And then you don't force yourself, oh no, you sit down now, meditate. Just have a nice walking meditation. So that's obviously then a possibility. But never an obligation. Always just as a beautiful opportunity, if you have it somewhere. Some place where you can walk a little bit forwards and backwards and whatnot. And not everybody even has that. No obligation.
John?
Yeah?
Thank you for this evening.
Oh, it's 35 already. Yeah, I just realized.
Our magic moment is rapidly approaching when we need to leave. So,
right.
John, would you be happy to offer a blessing to us all this evening?
Oh yeah, you're so welcome. Thanks for listening to me. I hope I was a little bit helpful to you. Darlene, treat yourself kindly.
Yeah, very much so. Thank you.
Okay. Have a nice evening, you all. Sleep well. Till next time. Bye-bye.
And may this time in COVID pass quickly, and it's obviously passing well for you.
Oh yeah, like I said, no problem. If it lasts longer... I didn't suffer much, that was the beauty of it. So I'd take your COVID for a while, let me be sick for another month. No work for me.
Well, thank you very much.
All the best.
Join with us, it's been another beautiful evening, so
thank you
very much. I look forward to seeing you all next week, and please keep coming to see us, and it's lovely. We do have a magical community here now together.
Bye bye.
All the best.
Bye,
Shan.
You guys.
Thank you, Ajahn.
Welcome.